Attention parents, what you're about to see is not suitable for kids. Shoot, it's not even suitable for some grown-ups. You might want to walk away now if you ain't into these type of things.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock.
I'm going to deliver the goods because I'm alive and I'm not backing down.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Let's start the show.
Let's get it going.
Disgusting, vomit-inducing thing.
Hola, creepos. Welcome to another edition of your favorite true crime hashtag comedy podcast. It's the Creep Off. My name is Vinny Paulino.
Excelsior.
True believers.
That's it. I love all of you. We've got a lot of new people have joined our ranks this week, Carl.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, we've had lots of fun new patrons joining.
On which side of things? The Vietnam True Believers or the Carl Cuzzaroos?
A little bit of both.
Okay, that's good.
Not everyone has good taste. They pick a great show.
Right.
It's just the nuance they seem to have trouble with.
50% of the show is really good. I agree.
Yeah, mine.
That wasn't the 50%.
It was too. I hate you so much tonight. So I went and spent my Sunday with Carl for the first time ever. I went and watched football at his house yesterday.
Correct. And thanks for coming over and bringing another Dolphins fan with you so you weren't so outnumbered. But
that one could fight. That's why I brought him.
Go smart. You got to admit, the highlight of the day yesterday were the chicken wings and the chili.
Agreed.
Because your team scored 0 points.
Yes, but every time Buffalo scored, I put chicken bones inside of one of your guitars.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully it was the Taylor guitar that's only worth $3,000.
No. Did you hear me say guitars?
Oh, all of them. Okay.
Yes.
Great.
I made sure to spread it around.
All right, great.
And then the chili also helped me leave another present somewhere else. Fuck you, your bills.
I haven't checked the bathroom in the maid's quarters yet, so I'll have to see what you did when I get
she
back
home.
She was
very surprised and angry.
I bet. So I just want to point out, I didn't want to get into our escapades from this weekend right away, but I want to point out that inviting Vinny over to your house is weird. Vinny is a creep. And what I mean by that is I invite him to my house to hang out with all of us, watch the football game, eat my food, have some beverages, enjoy himself. And his only mission is to videotape me embarrassing myself. So he can put that on the internet. When you get invited to someone's house, you shouldn't stand there with your phone up following them around the house the entire time.
I did not do that.
You did.
I only
creep.
Filmed you one time.
You're
when
creep.
You were trying to throw a football.
Here's what I'm
going
to
do. And the second I saw you in your backyard going, hey, everybody, we're going to play catch. And Carl has a football and he's going deep.
Yeah. Here's what I'm going
to
do.
I had to film it.
Here's what I'm going to do, Vinny. I'm going to treat it like it's a Dave Chappelle concert from now on. When you come over, the phone goes in a Ziploc bag. We lock up the bag. You can't have it back until the game is over.
Do you realize I never put it on the internet and I wasn't going to breathe a word of it? You just let the cat out of the bag.
You're great.
I have hysterical footage of Carl trying to throw a football.
You're great.
That I have not released.
Tried to throw a football. It was a completed pass. It's
no,
early in the
it
season.
Wasn't.
It's early in the season.
Carl, you killed a gopher.
He had it coming.
And you looked doofy doing it.
He had it coming.
Wow, man. You guys should have seen it. Maybe you will one day. We'll
see. Oh, yeah. Oh, now we're threatening? Is that what's going on?
Well, I didn't bring it up. I was going to let it go.
I invited Vinny to throw or catch a football, and he refused to.
Yeah.
He had to dodge the football. It was coming towards him. So.
Yeah, he stepped out of the way.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to share that video?
Don't share any videos. That's been my rule since before the internet. When you're at a party or doing something where there's tons of blow everywhere and people are shooting up in the bathroom, don't document it. How many times have we talked about this? When you're doing things
the
like that,
the only thing I you shouldn't document it. Was you trying to be an athlete.
Okay.
All right. You're a really funny guy.
I know.
It was a great time. Thanks for the advice.
Oh, of course. Always, buddy. Anytime you want to come over, you want to switch sides, root for a winner, you're more than welcome to. I'll even buy a quadruple X Bills jersey if you want one.
Why you being a dickhead fool? Stop being a dickhead.
No, okay. Thank you.
All right, fair enough. What happened last week? We had Dr. Steve on. And then no one could hear the episode because the server crashed and I was getting notes all week long that they couldn't hear the creep off. So should we just pretend it didn't happen? You want to just pretend that episode didn't happen at all since no one heard it?
Yeah. Yeah. No winner. No winner declared because Spotify didn't update their fucking RSS. I don't know.
No, there was problems on Apple and Spotify and all over the place.
Well, Vinny it all started.
Was dealing with it all week.
Yeah. Guys, I got all of your messages. I tried to respond to a bunch of people, but they piled up on me. Forgive me. And I'm not trying to be a dick.
You don't have to try.
If you just
it just comes naturally to you.
If you just follow the creep off on Twitter, I made sure to give Podomatic a whole bunch of shit.
Good.
And post all of their fucking excuses for everything. So I'm sorry about that, and I'm hoping that everything is working. The feed says that it is up and running.
Yeah, but then you get a podcast that like teaches you Mandarin or something.
That's
like that.
That's true. That did happen. For a little while, people were learning how to speak Mandarin daily.
Yeah.
I like to think that maybe that's a bonus. Maybe
what's their Patreon doing? Are they getting some of our patrons now going over there? Like, oh, I didn't even know about this show.
Cam Critical just said in the YouTube chat, he said, I started as a Kuzaruba because WATP introduced me to the creep off, but I got to switch to be a true believer. Vinny carries the show and is never late.
Since when,
I just wanted to point that out.
Since when are we reading the comments on YouTube Live? This is not something we do
when
on the show.
They are flating me.
Yeah, exactly.
Me
okay.
I need to be tickled.
Okay, stuttering John.
You think it's going to make the podcast?
Okay,
I'm just saying it to bother you right now.
Stuttering fuckface.
All right, you horse tooth cunt.
All right.
Go look at that picture. Go look at that picture on our Instagram, by the way, which enough of you do not look at. Our Instagram is dedicated to all of your fan art.
Yes.
So if you send us or tweeted us a funny picture that you made on Photoshop or something like that, we pop it up on our Instagram. So if you'd like to laugh at us, they're usually all pointed at the expense of one of us. So
did you post the photo of the final score and you and me standing in front of the television?
I did.
Nice.
And that's why I called you a horse tooth jackass.
Fair enough.
All right. So there was a thing that happened last week we're not acknowledging.
Right. Creepiest medical professional.
Dr. Steve.
And Dr. Steve is the winner.
Yes.
Yes, right. I don't think people were voting for who he picked. I think they were just voting for him.
Exactly correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So
exactly
what percentage
correct.
Of the vote did he get, Vinny, just out of curiosity?
Like 65.
Please. So this is another win for the guest column, which puts it up to what, 4 on the guest column now?
Yeah, and I booked us another guest before this happened.
No, no more guests.
We have one more guest coming.
No.
It's already done.
Who's that?
October 4th. Ladies and gentlemen, Zania is coming to the show.
Oh, yeah?
We're going to become Zanomaniacs.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
Eric
right,
Zane's coming on.
Awesome. Looking forward to talking to Erica Zane.
That's,
as electric Cardiff Electric calls him.
Yeah, well, who?
You know.
No. I know. Not familiar with the term.
Cardiff Electric might be the new review girl on WATP. Crushed it yesterday on the show.
Listen.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Keep him over there.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
You want to talk about what we're doing this week?
Yeah. What's the category this week?
Pulled it out of my ass on Friday. We're going to France.
Oh, the creepiest Frenchman or woman.
That's it.
Okay.
The creepiest French person.
Okay, I can get down with that. Are there creeps over in France?
Shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah, there's a few.
Fish in a barrel, Carl. How'd you do on yours? Did you have trouble picking somebody?
I did have trouble picking somebody, and then the person that I picked, once again, there's very little documentation on.
Oh,
so I had to do a lot of research.
I hate these. That means it's a real atrocity. All they have to do is lead with the headline of what they did, and then nobody wants to know anymore, so they don't have to bother.
Yeah, there's no true crime shows about this, and every video was in French. And I got to work on my French, apparently, because I did not understand what they were talking about.
Luckily for you guys, I overprepared. And since Carl was the last person to win that's on the show today, he has to go first.
All right, my creep this week is Emile Louis. And I will be reading from The Guardian, a couple of different articles I tracked down, one from 2000, one from 2004. Louis, a 70-year-old retired coach driver, was convicted of murdering 7 young women, many with learning difficulties and living in care. This is out of a total of 30 who disappeared in the Yonne region in northern Burgundy, 100 miles southeast of Paris, over the course of 3 decades.
Interesting.
Yes.
So over 30 years, how many went missing?
So 30 women went missing. Louis was convicted of murdering 7 of these young women.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 23 said,
"Thank you!"
These girls are between 16 and 22 years old. And they're mentally retarded. And this guy was the bus driver, driving them to and from where they needed to go. In 2000, Louis was
finally... in France, he's called a chauffeur.
Well, this is interesting because there's a whole scandal around this case that gets really deep and crazy because these crimes occurred between 1977 and 1979. And in 2000, Louis was finally arrested after a chance discovery by his eldest estranged daughter. She had been examining a trunk of old clothes at his former home in Villefort-Gaux and found women's clothes. Investigators found that they included a coat that belonged to a girl who had disappeared. They found a coat from a girl who had disappeared in the 70s. Why is this guy holding on to this?
Well, the same reason I still have jeans I bought a couple years ago. I might fit back into them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's called setting goals. Emile Louis, who drove young women in social services care between their foster homes and schools during the late 70s, said he had sex with the women, to which they freely consented, because that's how that works. He confessed he had felt uncontrollable urges to murder his victims, aged between 16 and 22. Louis told police he buried all seven bodies on the banks of the River Seine in Rovere, near Auch.
So, do you think
they're working on my pronunciation?
Do you think that there's a chance here,
yeah,
that like they Howard Sterned Wendy the Slow Adult of this, where he's like, "Do you want me to kill you and put your body by the river?"
Yes, like,
yes.
You want it in your butthole too? Yes,
yes,
yes. And then she said,
"Thank you."
Yeah, I think this might be what happened here.
By the way, this guy driving these retards on the bus inspired the Dead Milkmen. I don't know if you're familiar with this song. You know that song, Vinny?
Yes, I've heard that song. I did not know it was about this, but now I'm going to go back and give it a listen. Right. What album was that on?
I forget. Taking Retards to the Zoo by the Dead Milkmen. Great song. All right, so this is where things get a little weird. Inexplicably, the inquiries into the disappearances were either shelved or handled so incompetently that only two so far have been resolved. Dozens of case files have also gone missing, leading to speculation that the girls were victims of a high-level sex ring that raped and murdered its way through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, then stifled all subsequent investigations.
So there was a sex ring, or it was just this, like, sex-starved bus driver?
Oh, I think he was part of a bigger thing.
Really?
The regional and social services must bear their share of blame in the scandal. Only rarely were the disappearances reported to the police. With an astonishing lack of concern, the missing girls were simply noted in departmental records as runaways, or for those over 18, as having voluntarily left the facility.
Okay, so they were like, one more off the books. They just didn't care.
I'm telling you, Vinny, this could be a movie. This is fascinating right here.
This really is.
But it is the prosecutor's office that appears to have failed most shockingly. As early as 1981, a local police officer, Christian Jambat, suspected Louis of involvement, but local prosecutors said they did not believe Jambat's evidence, halted his inquiry, and ignored three subsequent requests by the officer to have it reopened.
I just want everyone to know when Carl tries to speak French, it is vile to look at.
Jambat was transferred to a different town in 1989. His complete and damning report, dated 1984, was, however, lost in the justice system and only came to light again in 1996. Under mounting pressure from the victims' families, media, and public opinion, a full inquiry into the disappearances was finally ordered by the Paris High Court. Jambat never lived to see it. Just weeks before he was due to give evidence, he died of gunshot wounds. The death was deemed a suicide, although the evidence for this appears to be a little flimsy.
He shot himself in the back.
Listen to this. Listen to this, Vinny. The rifle found by the officer's body and a folder of relevant documents have since vanished. And in 2004, a post-mortem on his exhumed remains revealed entry wounds caused by two bullets of apparently different types and fired from different angles.
You have two hands. You had two hands, guys.
Finally arrested in 2000, Louis confessed to having consensual sex with the victims and murdering them and led police to two of the bodies. He has since retracted his confession and insists the girls were abused, abducted, and killed by a ring of high-ranking local men. He was only the chauffeur. I didn't have to do that with the French accent, did I? Because that's actually a word that we use over here. He was a chauffeur.
Vinny. Stop.
As the belated inquiry advanced, the chief prosecutor revealed in late 2001 that the records of most of the several dozen criminal investigations that were shelved between 1958 and 1982, including 17 cases of missing young women, appeared to have been either stolen or destroyed. Miss LaCroix also disclosed that a dozen disturbing post-1982 investigations for the files that still did remain, all of them concerning missing young women, had been launched and then quietly dropped, sometimes despite reports stating that the missing person had, in all probability, been abducted and murdered. So what you're seeing is a giant cover-up right now.
Yeah, that's...
These young women...
There's more than this bus driver.
Yes. Yeah. But however, going back to Louis, he moved to the south of France in the mid-1980s. He was sentenced in 2004 to 20 years in jail for repeatedly drugging and raping his second wife and stepdaughter during the 1990s. So this guy went to jail not for the confession that he made of raping and murdering seven young retards, but because he was raping and drugging his wife and his wife's daughter.
That tells you the relationship isn't that good.
Correct. You can't fix it.
That's
You're not going to fix it. All right. His defense lawyers have said they will argue that only two bodies have been found and that the entire prosecution is, in any event, now covered by the statute of limitations. So, like, I mean, you want to try this guy? This happened in 78. What do you want to do? I guess in France, 10 years is the statute of limitations for a murder.
Good rule. Just kidding.
Louis died on October 20th, 2013, at the age of 79. And there's some interesting – I didn't want to get too far down the rabbit hole on this one. But when I was researching this, there was some interesting information where there was one girl who escaped. She was being tortured in the basement of this house. And the guy who owned the house was really good friends with Louis. And she informed officers there were other girls there. When they got there, they found they were all tied up in the basement. And Jeez. For months were being tortured and raped. And it's a whole thing. And what France decided to do was cover it all up. They're like, oh, some retarded girls are missing and they're probably being raped and tortured. Whatever.
And that was that's how they came up with that cute little cartoon French girl, Matilda.
That is very good.
It's the story of Matilda.
I didn't know that you would know that. That's very good, Betty. So anyway, my creep this week is Emile Louis. I'm getting better. You got to admit. You thought I was a Frenchman just now when you looked over like, whoa.
So there's a concrete wall between us and I got wet. Not in my pants, on the side of my face from him doing those noises. It just like came through the wall.
Yeah. Well, when it comes out of my teeth, it can go in any direction. So that makes sense, actually.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you got, buddy?
My creep didn't need to be part of a big cover-up conspiracy. He didn't even, you know, care so much about raping his wife or his stepdaughter.
Oh, well, that sounds
boring.
Well, but okay.
No, my guy cared more about himself and having a good time. You see?
Fucking cares!
All right, Bonnie, let him. I mean, come on. That's rude.
You know, Rich comes in here and doesn't talk over me like this. My creep save is Thierry Palen.
How do you pronounce that?
Thierry Palen.
Okay.
That's
you try harder, but okay.
Yeah, mine just doesn't sound like gross. So, what a terrible language. So, this kid was born in 63. His dad left, like, right after he was born, a couple of days. His mom got remarried, and he was a violent kid towards all of his stepbrothers and sisters.
Okay.
And at 12 years old, he threatened a teacher with a knife that he brought from home. Yeah. His mother was pissed. She was like, how will I cut the cheese? Why is my knife, Thierry? He was immediately labeled a troublemaker by teachers. They sent home a letter to his mother one time, and he intercepted it at home and then, like, forged his mother's signature and did a whole thing and, like, totally tricked the school. He ended up dropping out early. He joined the army. They made him a barber, and they threw him out. And
by the way, being a barber in the army is the easiest job there. Right. Have you seen those haircuts?
He couldn't handle it.
That's the easiest job there is.
He had a bit of a problem with the attitude.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. The problem that he had with the attitude is he was a bit of a sassy gentleman.
All right.
Okay. His dad was from French Guiana, that he was of mixed race is what they called him in all of the descriptions.
Okay.
So
I thought we were doing French people.
He is. His dad was from there, but he was born in France.
Huh. Okay.
His dad was from somewhere.
All right. Disqualified. All right.
Just get the fuck out of here. Just because your guy's bullshit.
What are you talking about? He raped retards. Dude, what are you talking about, bullshit?
Okay.
Raped and murdered retards.
So he was also very, very flamboyantly gay, this guy.
Oh, fun.
So he
enrolled. So he was the comic relief of this episode, oh, yeah. You tell me?
They loved him at the barbershop.
I bet.
No, they didn't. They threw him out.
Oh, okay.
He then went to college to study hairdressing and to be an electrician. Didn't do either of those things because all he wanted to do was hang out in nightclubs.
Me too.
So in 1984, he moves back to his mom's house in the suburbs of Paris, and she throws him out. He's got no money. He's got nothing. He ends up living in a tiny hostel, sharing a room with a bunch of people.
Okay.
And he finally finds a job working as a waiter in a drag club.
Nice.
Now, he dressed in drag not too long after that, started dressing in drag and started performing.
Okay.
That's when he started, like, just having a good time in Paris, right?
It's kind of like the Ari Shaffir story, right?
Which one?
He worked the door at the Comedy Store for many, many years,
yeah.
And finally got his chance to get up on stage and made something of himself.
Just like Jimmy Schubert. He was a doorman, too.
There you go.
Paul Rodriguez was a doorman.
He still is. That's the surprising thing about Paul Rodriguez.
Talk shit about Paul Rodriguez, sir. He ends up going from the door to the stage.
Yes.
What a story.
What a story. What a success story. All right. We got any voicemails you want to?
No.
All right.
Soon after joining this club, he met a 19-year-old named Jean, and they fell in love. He was from French Guiana, just like his father, and he was a severe drug addict.
Okay.
They had a very chaotic, dependent relationship, and they spent a lot of money. They go out for really lavish nights out. They use credit cards.
So I don't want to offend everyone that I know, but what you're explaining right now is every gay relationship I've ever known about.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Okay. Love a party. Love a party.
Yep.
Couldn't afford to pay it. So they started pickpocketing around the city, stealing people's checkbooks.
Grabbing their cocks.
Grabbing their dicks on the way.
Touching the balls a little bit.
They'd pick their pocket and reach around and grab their dick. As they ran away. Like a French clown.
Ooh, this one's over 7. I'll let you keep your wallet, sir.
Right. Credit cards. They would also steal people's prescription drugs to resell them. Now, it escalated quite quickly past just these stealing money.
Okay.
So on the October 5th, 1984, this old woman named Anna Barbiere Pontes, who was 83, and she lived in a small apartment, was attacked, smothered with a pillow. And then another woman who lived next door to her was a 91-year-old, and she was attacked in her apartment and murdered. And all of her cash was gone. So basically, these guys started breaking into apartments and murdering old women.
Sure.
And stealing money. But yeah.
I like to call that putting them out of their misery. But go ahead.
Yeah. But things got a little bit crazy because the way that they were killing these women, mm-hmm. these old women, got to be kind of really violent.
Okay.
For example, one lady they tied up while she was alive and set the house on fire and left her in there.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Yeah, that's one thing they did. Some of them, they found these women with their heads just completely bashed in. Some of them they found tied up with plastic bags over their heads. They left them there to suffocate.
Jesus.
And one woman who survived describes being attacked by two men and being forced to drink drain cleaner until she would tell them where her money was hidden in the house. So these two are fucking completely insane,
yeah.
And they're running around, brutally murdering old women.
I could do drain clear if I have a chaser, but just straight up or neat, ugh.
Now,
it's rough.
They say that the motive for all this appeared to be robbery, and his boyfriend Jean went with him just to go along for the ride.
Okay.
Now, at the
same
time—
How come we never do stuff that you want to do?
These two, if there was a montage of them going out through town, they'd just be like, the Soul Sisters, gonna kill that old sisters. Bitch over there. We drink wine with diamonds in the They're just having a great time. Expensive taste. And they decide that they're going to go on a little vacation, and they go back to his dad's and the other guy's place, French wherever the fuck, Ghana. They go there.
Okay.
And they hang out for a little while. And his dad ends up moving back there, and he cannot handle the boyfriend. He beat the shit out of his own dad over it. They got into big, big fights.
Okay.
And then him and Jean broke up.
Oh.
Yep. Thierry returned to Paris, and he decided to start his own firm of trans artists, which failed miserably in 1985.
Explain what that is. His own firm?
Yes. He wanted to have like a thing of trans artists. He was going to have like a gallery or something. That's what it was called in every article I read. So I'm not exactly sure what that meant, but it was business related and it was a stupid idea and it failed.
Okay.
And he was murdering old ladies a year ago.
Yeah, and he's
a fucking pillhead.
He's going legit.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So that doesn't work out. And that's when the second wave of murder started. So the first one, there was 8 victims. And from December 20th, 1985 to June 14th, 1986, 8 more women were murdered. They were unable to identify the perpetrators. They had some clues, but they knew it was linked by some of the stuff to the style with the bags and things like that of the other murders. They didn't know what to do. They had no clue who it was. They didn't have fingerprints. All the evidence, he did a good job of cleaning up. And he fucks up.
Did a good job of cleaning up, by setting the place on fire.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's a good way to do
that. That was a good one. Got her. Showed her. In the autumn of 86, he had a little problem. He decided to attack one of his cocaine dealers with a baseball bat.
Sounds like the cocaine dealer had a problem, not him.
Well, no. The dealer went to the police, and he was arrested.
I'm just trying to sell this guy illegal drugs. He's being a lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah, man, exactly right. They're like, we will not stand for this.
And they
took him and sent him to jail for 16 months for assault.
Okay.
Now, during jail, you know, get your drop ready, Carl. He got himself the AIDS.
Oh, yeah?
The HIV. And when he got out after 16 months, he knew he was HIV positive. And this just increased his lust for going out to party. But he's got to fund it somehow, Carl.
Right, yeah.
So under the death sentence of AIDS, he's organizing lavish parties, sparing no expense. And he was doing it all with stolen credit cards and checks and the proceeds from more murders.
Well, the problem was the other gay guys in the community were like, well, you have AIDS, so I'm not going to suck your dick. And his response was, well,
lick, lick, lick my balls. Yeah.
So 2 more women are killed.
Yeah.
Then 1 woman was suffocated and he left her for dead. Did the bag trick, but she got out of it.
Okay.
And she survived. And she was the only person who was able to accurately describe him to police.
All right.
And here's the quote. She said, he's a mixed race man in his 20s with hair like Carl Lewis and an earring in his left ear. Okay. They knew what to look for.
All right.
He's walking down the street 3 days later. Local cop sees him and goes, ah, that's the guy. Because he had big, spiky, blonde, like kid. You remember Kid and Play?
Yeah, of course.
He had like the house party hair.
Nice.
And
it's a good look.
And the earring. And they arrested him walking down the street. They had him in jail for 2 days. And he admitted everything. And it turns out, total, you ready for this?
Yeah.
21 old ladies.
It's 21. Time to quit talking.
21 old ladies that he murdered brutally.
And he confessed to it all.
And 5 of them, he did it to impress his boyfriend.
Oh, okay, yeah. They didn't even have money.
So love.
Yeah, right.
And one of the interesting facts was they asked him, how did you pick your victims? And it turns out that the reason he picked the old ladies that he picked is he would say hello to them. And if they were rude in any way or didn't look at him because he was like,
they're homophobic.
Yeah, they were homophobic.
Yeah, right.
He'd be like, oh, yeah, that's her.
Yeah, and makes sense.
And that's what he
makes
did.
Makes sense
so,
to me.
You ready for the worst part of this whole case? The worst part?
I suppose.
April 1989, Thierry died from the effects of AIDS with the combination of tuberculosis and meningitis at age 26. And he never went to trial.
Oh, nice. All right.
So he died just fucking in jail waiting for trial.
That's what you call God taking care of it for us.
Now, here is a good thing. He also rolled over on Jean, the boyfriend.
Of course, Jean.
Who was arrested.
Broke his heart.
And was sentenced to life in prison, plus 18 years without parole.
Hey, the good news is your ex-boyfriend didn't give you AIDS. The bad news is he ratted on you, and now you will spend 18 years in prison.
No. Life in prison plus 18 years without parole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that what that means, though? Is that you're eligible for parole in 18 years?
Yeah. Well, he got out in 2009.
Okay.
So that guy's running around. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck. Have fun with that.
So
hope
that,
you don't get old.
So my dude is literally just murdering, brutally murdering old ladies so we could go out and party.
Okay.
Fucking. it's not a cool thing to do, Carl, is my point. You need to go dance around some old lady's just dead with a plastic bag on her head, and he's on his way to the bar.
No one told me there was going to be boasting.
All right, great. Gross. You brought a creep. I brought a creep. We both brought creeps. We're going to find out when the people vote who brought the bigger creep.
TheCreepOff.com.
At TheCreepOff.com. That's where you find that. Thank you, Vinny.
You're welcome, everybody.
Great presentation today, everyone. Fantastic job.
I think you meant Vinny.
Did we get any voicemails? Do we have a voicemail sponsor? What's going on?
We do have a voicemail sponsor.
Great.
The Creep Off voicemail segment is brought to you by the City of Syracuse, home of the Science and Technology Museum, where you can watch Syracuse's top scientists make a baking soda volcano. They almost have it figured out. See you in Syracuse.
Ooh, I got to get over there for this one.
That's hilarious.
Got to hop on the thruway. Well done, McBride. So where do we start here today? Well, I have a suggestion from the wheel. Now,
okay.
I don't know how this is possible, but I'm just going to suspend my disbelief.
Oh, yeah, this is Macho Man Randy Savage calling in with an idea for the Creep Off Wheel of Consequences, calling you ringside from the heaven stars above. I think the person who loses and gets this particular spin should have to record their section of the podcast in a McDonald's or a Starbucks during a busier time of the day. Headphones on, talk about creeps, pedophiles, and cannibalism right in front of the public, and anybody who looks him in the eye, give me a old fly elbow drop. Slip him like a Slim Jim. Ooh, Vinny, and I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
I love you.
That was weird at the end. What do you think of that? We have to do our part of the show live in a public location with just out there.
It's fun.
I don't know, man.
It sounds kind of fun.
I would have to clean everything up so much.
No, that you can't do that.
Do whatever I want. People's champ.
It's not a bad idea, actually. I kind of like it.
All right, we're gonna chew on that one. You got a
plus. That was definitely the actual Macho Man Randy Savage. So if he said it, we should probably go along with that.
I agree. All right, go ahead. What do you got?
All right, let's see what we got coming in on the WATP hotline for the Creep Off.
I wasn't gonna say nothing because I really didn't care that much. But listen to WATP. I just heard Vinny take credit for Carl Hamburger. Not that it's that clever. Any idiot can think of it. But I guarantee I was the first one to bring Carl Hamburger to the WATP Creep Off universe.
Oh.
And it can be backed up because when I called quite a while ago into the Creep Off and ripped you and Vinny apart, I called you Carl Hamburger, you club-footed retard or whatever. So anyway, Vinny, take that back, you fat-titted boob. I can back up if you'd like me to. I just would have to dig through some episodes. But my contention is I was the first one to mention Hamburger in the fucking WATP universe. So quit taking credit for it, you fat wop.
Yeah, you fat-titted boob.
Oh.
You fat wop. Stop taking credit for it.
May I have a moment to respond?
Oh, of course, sir.
Well, sir, that's you enough. Are the one bringing the accusation. I think maybe you should go do your research. Prove me wrong. Go ahead. Prove me wrong.
I like that you want to take credit for Carl Hamburger so badly. Like he said, it's not that clever.
Nope. I just want that. I just want to know somewhere some dude's pouring over evidence.
Oh, God. You love to take credit for everything that goes on. Here's another voicemail that came in.
Tell him, Fred, I invented Carl Hamburger.
Fuck of all fat fucks, Vinny P. Cups. He's really crossed the fucking line now. It's enough. How many times he mentioned the creep off in the last WATP episode?
Now
one, you got to have a shock collar on, highest level. Anytime he mentions the creep off, you shock the fat fuck.
Ooh, I like that.
Enough. Creep off is whack.
Well, I don't agree with that, sir, but I do like the idea of shocking Vinny whenever he says something I don't like. That sounds fun.
I don't.
You like that first scene of Ghostbusters?
I denounce it.
Bill Murray's just shocking the shit out of that guy. Like, that looks fun. I would love to do that.
I don't want it.
Let's do that on WATP next time we bring up the guy.
I'll put that on the Wheel of Consequences. We have to sit there in a shock thing for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And the other one could fuck with the other person however they wish.
Or we let the YouTube, we send out the device to 5 lucky fans and let them shock us.
Oh, dude. We just have to make sure that we don't put down a deposit on the machine because it's probably going to get short-circuited.
Yeah, I know. They might overuse it.
Yeah, I think we might have a problem.
Yeah, okay.
What else you got?
All right, here's a quick one.
Hey, Carl, I was just wondering when you're going to have Elisa and Vinny on again.
Yeah,
me too. I hope you put Vinny in a separate room because I kept hearing his boner knocking against the desktop. Call me back.
Flirty Vinny. We learned a new side of Vinny when Elisa Giordano was on Who Are These Podcasts.
Listen, man. I believe in just being polite and, you know.
Ooh, it's a lady.
She is quite a lady.
You got any more voicemails over there?
No.
All right, I got one more then. I haven't listened to all of this. I listened to the first couple seconds. I went, okay, yep, this is a winner. We definitely have to play this one on the show.
Hey, this is for the creep off. I'm out of town. I couldn't catch the Bills Miami game.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering if you guys could just remind me what the score was. Anyway, I mean, I'm just hoping the Bills win, but I know it's going to be a tough game. Just remind me what the score was, please. Vinny, if you could please remind me what the score was, I would appreciate that. I just can't catch it. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Love you guys. Talk to you later.
That's a Buffalonian calling in, needs the sports scores. Vinny, do you remember what the score was in the game yesterday?
I don't recall.
35!
Don't interrupt me, cunt!
35-0.
Fuck yeah.
So people who don't live in the U.S., who aren't familiar with football, if a team scores 35 points and the other team scores 0 points, that's called an ass whipping. And we were in Miami, too. We were on their field wiping their asses up and down the field.
I mean, this guy was a real jerk.
It was a thing of beauty.
You done now?
What about the third quarter? The fourth touchdown the Bills scored. I don't know if you remember this.
I was busy wiping my buffalo chicken fingers.
The funniest part was, so Vinny brought a friend over, and everyone in my house like erupts in cheering as he scored a touchdown, and your buddy goes, I don't know why they think that's so exciting.
Well, he was joking.
I know. He's funny.
Kevin's a funny dude.
Yep.
Kevin should come in here sometime, except for now. Now,
maybe when I'm at Starbucks doing my consequences.
Yeah, maybe I'll have him. Yeah, maybe he'll be my new co-host.
All right.
No. No.
Have fun with that.
No, thanks.
Kevin's cuzzaroos.
Well, at least I won't be club-footed. They'll be club-fisted if it was Kevin.
That's true.
That fucking guy is like a caveman. Kill us all. All right. It's angry.
Are we ready to take a scum parade?
Yeah, I guess.
Because Vinny's a creep.
Check.
Yes, agreed.
And Carl's a weirdo.
Yep.
I'm not kidding around. They're both degenerate psychopaths with no business in a civilized society. And they're gonna take you on a scum parade.
So, Carl, this is a really crazy story that came from Russia.
Yeah.
What did you think of this when you read it?
Well, I A, didn't know this existed.
Yeah.
And B, found this to be hilarious in every single way.
Okay, okay. So there was a messy breakup in Russia.
Yeah.
These two, they owned this woman, Valeria Udalova, 49, and her company. She was in a relationship with a guy named Daniela Medvedev, and they owned a lab basically for people who want to live forever.
Yes.
Like the Walt Disneys of the world. And they would cryogenically freeze people for reals in hopes that they can keep the tissues alive enough.
Yep.
So that one day when science is able to do it, they can be revived.
And
it's a fucking cartoon.
Yes. And what I love about this business is there's different packages you can purchase.
Yeah.
If you want your entire body frozen, that's like $20,000. Just your brain, pull out the brain and just keep that, it's like $11,000. That's like the bargain. So I was thinking, Vinny, this is a racket.
Oh, you don't say.
I think I want to go into this business because your customers cannot report you to authorities. And there will be no negative Yelp reviews at all because your customers are all dead. I think we should do this.
I you know what? Fuck this podcast. Let's go. Done. Episode's over.
I'll start clearing out my freezer at home right now.
I was showing Kevin this story yesterday, and he said, did you know that the reason why – there's a theory that the reason why Disney named that movie Frozen is so that when people would Google Walt Disney Frozen Head, this would come up instead.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's like a conspiracy theory.
I mean, it's a fun one, though. I like that
one. It is a fun one. Don't know if it's true. So
Hold on. I got to think about how I'm going to change the club-footed Carl Google searches. Maybe I'll start a club called Footed.
Oh, yeah, for runners.
Carl's Club-Footed. It'd be a dance club.
You know what? I'm actually going to isolate that drop right there. Carl's Club-Footed. So here's what happened. They got into a pretty messy breakup. One of them cheated on the other, I believe. Is that accurate, Carl?
Yes.
Yeah. And Valeria and the people from her other company, which she decided to start a rival I'm Gonna Freeze People company.
That's what I mean. It's such a good idea that when you see someone do it, you're like, this, why would I do this?
Well, and then they broke up. She's like, oh, I got to keep this going.
Yep.
And he's like, well, I got the keys, bitch, so fuck you. She starts her own. But her and her staff broke into the other lab.
Yeah.
And just started pulling people's brains out of drawers and throwing them in duffel bags. Yeah. Like just the sloppiest break-in on the fucking planet. And what I don't understand is, what I'm trying to understand is, like, how does that hurt this guy other than it gives a bad press that somebody broke in and did that?
Right.
But it's not like you didn't get the money up front from the guy who's dead, whose brain's in the fucking closet.
You just opened up more space for inventory is all you've done here.
Yes. They said, like, the stuff that keeps the tissues alive, the fluid that they use, like the nitrogen fluid.
The fluid.
Like, they just spilled it all over the place. Yeah. Like, this is just the slop. So all of these people's remains are just fucked at this point. They're probably soup in this some fucking her makeshift starter business garage.
That's what it sounded like to me, the way they're explaining this. But then, of course, they come out and they're like, yeah, I think everyone's fine. We're going to put everyone back where they were. It's all good. Yeah. No, I don't want any relatives getting pissy about this.
And by the way, if you would like to buy a plaid.
Yeah, right, exactly. But
if you mention this article, half price. I have some more space.
There is a Groupon available through next Tuesday if you're interested.
Let us freeze your brain. It will do your loved ones for free.
25%.
Throw you right in the same fucking drawer next to the fucking spoons and the knives and the corkscrews. But is this crazy?
Can I tell you what my major takeaway from this was?
Yeah.
It's not just people who are being frozen. It's pets. Cats and dogs. And I thought, okay, let's find the people.
What a poor investment that is.
Yeah. Let's find the people who paid money to have their dog or cat frozen and just lock them up. Can we just lock those people up? Like, you're a crazy person.
Like, the fact is, when you get a cat or a dog, as Carl and I both know, you lose a pet sometimes. It happens.
They have a shelf life.
Yeah, they have a shelf life. And to think that you...
It's funny because my cat now lives on a shelf. She literally has a shelf life. Oh, God. I'm glad my wife doesn't watch this show. She'd be so upset with me right now.
My dog has one, too.
Oh,
my old dog has one, too.
Anyway, yeah. So you kind of know that going into it. That, you know, Fluffy's got 17 to 20 years and then, you know, it's time to say goodbye and just be okay with that. They're like, no, someday in the future, dogs will live forever. Yeah. Why would we want dogs to live forever?
It's 2021 and I'm, you know, 55 and I've made enough money to just have disposable income to throw at freezing my dog. I'm going to spend 15 grand, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And then it's somehow in the next couple of years before I'm dead, I know science is going to come up with a way so I can spend the last few moments of my life with my beloved Snuffy.
It's such a stupid thing. These people are morons. And that's what I mean. This business is great because you're taking advantage of people who just want hope. You don't have to sell them any product other than hope. There's no guarantees. You have no idea. You're not the one developing the technology that's going to revive these people. You're just like, we'll just keep them cold until we get it.
Dude, let's do that. And then try to give them Jesus after.
Yes, and then we sell them Jesus.
Like that's like a perpetual 10%.
Vinny, this is why we're partners in this. This is how we're coming up with some good business ideas right now.
Yeah, if there's no show next week on Spotify, it's not the RSS feed. It's because Carl and I are in the money.
It's going to be called Jesus Christ, it's called. I don't know. I'm spitballing here.
Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department officers were called at about 4:45 p.m. to an apartment complex after receiving a 911 call with yelling and screaming heard in the background. When police arrived, they found a 5-year-old girl who had been thrown from a third-floor apartment balcony and landed face first onto the gravel below.
Oh, that sounds painful.
Yeah. It's football season, so everybody's throwing kids again.
Yep.
It's the fucking throwing kids time of year.
It's funny, too, because we did a story about someone throwing a child off of a balcony in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I heard the Cowboys scouted him. He threw that kid like 25 yards.
he filled in for Tyrod Taylor yesterday.
Yeah.
So, no, what's interesting, though, is then in this article, they had to talk about that, too. In the final 3 or 4 paragraphs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this isn't the first time this crazy shit happened. Check this out.
It's not even going to be the first time we talk about the scum parade today.
Yeah, I know.
Hold on a second. So here's what happened. Jarek Willis, the boyfriend of the girl's mother, had thrown the child over the railing. The girl's mother, who had been dating Willis since March, told police that he was visiting her apartment for the first time that weekend. The woman said she and Jarek practice and believe in African spirituality, and on Saturday, Jarek started talking about how he believed the girl was full of bad spirits. Okay.
Right.
Hmm. The report said the girl's mother told Willis not to talk about her daughter in that way, but he brought it up again Sunday. The woman told police that Willis believed her daughter was a demon, the report said. The two were getting ready for a birthday party for one of the woman's other children.
Kids does she have?
Oh, God.
Jarek, get out of this relationship. Get out of this relationship, Jarek.
Yeah. Oh, he's out of it now. Trust
Listen,
me.
Listen, I get it. When you're dating a girl who has young children, it can be super annoying, but I would personally go for more of like the flowers in the attic approach.
Yep. Yep.
You know, out of sight, out of mind.
That's one way of doing it. So the woman's in the shower and she hears screaming and commotion from the living room. She says her son told her that Willis dragged her 5-year-old daughter by the hair and threw her off the balcony. The woman told police she thought Willis had killed her youngest daughter and was in fear for her life.
Maybe he thought she was a boomerang. She'd come right back.
That's Australia.
Oh, right. That would
be Australian spirituality.
Fair enough.
Because she knew he had a gun, she grabbed her own gun and then confronted Willis, who had walked into the shower.
He went to take a shower after that? He chucks a 5-year-old?
He's got
to
get ready for the party.
That's right. There's a party.
This one isn't a demon. We're going to celebrate her. I'm here for a reason.
Yep.
So he's in the shower. She told police she shot at Willis twice through the shower doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then he attacked her from behind.
That's the worst, because then water gets everywhere. Mold, and it's a whole thing.
Well, during the struggle, Willis was fighting for the gun, and the woman fired it several times. Willis eventually ran out of the room, and the woman shot at him again. And ironically, Willis escaped out of the very same fucking balcony he threw the kid.
What? That seems like a very low third-story balcony if everyone just wants to jump off of it so badly.
No. Only one person.
Only one was running for
his life.
I have to say, there is a very important detail that was left out of this story. Do you know what that is, Vinny?
What did the girl do?
Was she possessed by demons? They never explain whether she was or not, because surviving that fall is a little suspicious, don't you think?
Very much so.
Right? It's kind of like that thing with the witches. You know, if they float, then they're a witch, then we have to kill her. If they don't float, well, good for her. She wasn't a witch.
Well, Willis ran away. A witness said they saw him fall from the balcony and then run off. The 5-year-old girl was in stable condition. An officer wrote in the arrest report she suffered a fractured forearm, pelvis, leg, and rib, according with a possible fracture to her sternum. She also suffered a collapsed lung.
You know what else happened to her?
What's that?
Lifelong fear of heights. She's not going to be going to the Grand Canyon anytime soon. She's not really into the sightseeing.
Yeah. So Willis got picked up around the corner from there, and he had suffered gunshot wounds to his hands and chest, including one that grazed his colon. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. He faces charges of attempted murder and child abuse or neglect resulting in substantial bodily or mental harm. Both. He remained in custody on Wednesday with a $150,000 bail, and a hearing in that case was scheduled for Thursday morning. So maybe we'll find out what happened.
I think that if you do know a child who is possessed by demons, you should take the law into your own hands and have that child removed from this earth. Am I wrong about that, Vinny?
I wouldn't say that was a great choice, no.
Okay.
No, probably not.
All right, so we don't agree. We'll agree to disagree on that.
Okay. So let's go to Lee Acre, Florida. The Lee County Sheriff's Office arrested a gentleman by the name of Pedro Ramirez Jr. He's 39 years old.
Yeah.
And he was accused of throwing a 6-week-old baby on the ground.
Oh, you shouldn't do that.
No.
6 weeks is too early to do that.
I'm pretty sure that's intentional grounding.
Yes.
Like, was he trying to stop the clock on the game?
Yeah, loss of down, and we're doing a 10-second runoff.
Maybe he scored a touchdown.
Well, he's not on the Dolphins then. He's in Miami, but he's not playing for the Dolphins if he scored a touchdown.
So the police showed up after they were called, and this baby's had a fracture to the skull and was reported to the hospital. They said they have no idea why he did this.
I know why he did this.
What?
So you know how like women will get pissed off at their boyfriend or their husband, and they'll like destroy their PlayStation or throw away their wrestling figures or just something that they love?
Yeah.
to get back at them. This is the man version of that. Oh, yeah, you like this kid so much? You like this kid?
Maybe you'll learn to put your laundry in the hamper.
Right.
And then he fucking spiked the baby.
Maybe you'll stop leaving the beer out of the fridge, and I come home and it's warm.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that.
Right. You got to be taught a lesson with that.
So he ran away. He spiked the baby and ran off.
Yeah.
They caught him a day later at a gas station. Yeah, I think he felt lucky he got away because they caught him at a gas station buying scratchers. So fucking cool. He's now in custody of the Lee County Jail on a $50,000 bond, and he faces charges of aggravated child abuse and two counts of probation violation. Sir, you are prohibited by the courts from spiking children.
For at least 2.5 years.
So, Carl?
Yes.
Does every creep have to be guilty of a crime?
No. People can just be creeps.
Yeah. So, this is your one and only warning before I read this story. Carl, you probably didn't enjoy looking at this, did you?
Oh, they included a lot of photographs of this that I was not expecting
to
see.
My favorite one was the apparatus, the bloody apparatus laying on the surgery table.
I was surprised. I don't know if that was the legit. I don't know why they would take a photo of that. If
why
that
not?
Was actually it.
Just show it to people. Jesus Christ.
I'd love to know if Dr. Steve's ever had a case like this come into his office.
I wonder if Dr. Steve ever had to go to the office.
All right, let's read it. Let's let people know what we're talking about.
This is real. Oh, God. Hold on a second. I need a second.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We're going to London.
A 15-year-old boy inserted a knotted USB cable into the tip of his penis.
A knotted USB cable into his penis. That sounds like a really bad idea. Why would you do such a thing?
It got stuck inside. And he did it because he wanted to, quote, measure the length of his penis, which you're doing it wrong, kid.
All right. I know we're in the digital age, but, Vinny, you use a tape measure to measure the size of your penis. Not even a ruler. You use a tape measure.
Isn't there an app?
Do you know why?
Is there something better than this?
No, you know why you use a tape measure?
Why?
Because you got to wrap it around your balls twice, and that's how you know the actual length of your penis. That's a trick.
What?
Yeah, because when you're measuring the size of your penis, you wrap the tape measure on your balls twice, and then you go just past the tip, and then that's the size of your penis.
Who told you this?
You didn't know that? I have a 12-inch hog.
Carl, no.
You wrap it around your balls twice. No. You go around and over. You wrap it around a few times, you know, to get the girth measurement, too. It's like an OPS. You're adding length and girth.
Fucking meds or something?
You don't shove a USB. It wasn't even, like, pulled apart correctly.
I just want to say
it was knotted up.
Say that even in measuring your own dick, you're a fucking cheater.
You might be right.
That's all I want everyone to know. So he stuck this thing to measure the length. It went horribly wrong when the already knotted fucking cable got stuck in there. With both ends of the USB left hanging out the tip.
Have you ever?
So he folded it like a horseshoe.
Wanted to shove something into your pee hole.
No! No!
That's such a bizarre thing to do.
The boy made several attempts to remove it himself. Actual audio. This resulted in him urinating a large amount of blood, prompting his family to take it to the hospital.
Sure.
I gotta say that if this had happened in my house, my mother would have given it one good tug before she was making everybody go to the hospital.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to slam this door.
Just tie the other end to the door.
Tie the other end and slam it. Might have worked.
The hospital staff also failed to pull out the cable.
Yeah, I was in there good. They're like, whoa, how'd you get this in here like this?
They had special dick scoping tools. They couldn't get it out either.
Now, I would imagine if he's measuring size that he was erect at the time that he was inserting this thing. I don't know.
I think you would have to be, right?
I would think that, like, getting not erect would maybe cause some problems there with it getting stuck. But okay.
So here's what they did, right?
Yeah.
They went on from the undercarriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cut him open from the undercarriage. snipped the USB ends off of the thing.
Yeah.
And then they pulled it out through the undercarriage.
You know what, Vinny? That taint good.
It's the name of this episode. That taint good.
That taint good.
Yeah. According to the doctors, there were no complications in his recovery, and he was discharged from the hospital the next day. Dr. Amir Rahim, a consultant andrologist for a private healthcare clinic, told Mail Online that this case highlighted the most serious consequence for sounding. Yeah.
Did you know this was called sounding when you shove shit in your pee hole?
No. It is.
That's what they said in the article. It's called sounding. That's what this is known as. Yeah. I guess they get a lot of these things that people shove. It said that teenage boys shove needles in their penis. I was like, wait, what?
Stop it.
The whole point of a needle is you don't need to find the hole to shove it into if you want to put a needle inside you. But yeah, I guess they call it sounding, and it's something that people do for some reason. I guess
he said, like, when you introduce anything inside your body that is not sterile, you can cause a tissue infection. Infections can sometimes be serious, obviously. Yeah.
This whole thing where they explain, and this goes on for paragraphs and paragraphs where it explains why it's a bad idea to shove shit in your pee hole. I know! Who doesn't know this? So like, and just so you know, you shouldn't do this. It's really bad for a number of reasons. What I want to know, Vinny, is what are the kids calling this kid at school the next day? Because you know there's got to be some fun nicknames this kid has. I'm thinking Dongle Dick.
Dongle Dick is on top of the list.
How about Robocock? Or my favorite, C-3P hole? I don't know. I was just trying to think of, like, this kid's never going to live this down.
Well done, sir. CP3 hole?
C3P hole.
Okay. Maybe that's the name of this episode. Well, folks, I am thoroughly disgusted, and we should remind you that there's going to be a Scum Stream Thursday night.
Yes, Thursday, Scum Stream. Very good.
Yes, we're going to be very funny.
We got some really fun local stories to go over.
We are going to discuss a story that I told Carl about, and we both agreed is kind of fun. If anybody saw the Dark Side of the Ring plane ride from hell episode that debuted this past week.
Drink.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that because it's fucking hysterical. It's one of the goddamn funniest things I've ever heard in my life. So, not going to tell you what part was funny yet. You're going to have to listen.
I was going
to
say, Benny, there's parts of it
that are not funny.
Okay, I was going to say, you saying this is funny is maybe your Me Too movement. You might want to back off from that.
Yeah. That's not the funny.
Okay, all right.
There's very funny parts.
Okay, good.
Like Michael Hayes passing out and X-Pac chopping off his ponytail.
Let's save it for the Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, I was just making sure I don't get canceled.
Fair enough.
Like Ric Flair's about to be.
Yeah, oof.
Oof.
Not good.
See you Thursday. ladies and gentlemen, remember, it's nice to be important.
It's more important to be nice. Patreon.com/TheCreepOff. If you would like to support us, we would appreciate it, and you'll get bonus episodes every month.
And merch. Gagia.
Gagia.
Let's get out of here.
Oh, I thought you had that.
Ciao, Bella.
Well, it sucks.
May your enemies be cursed in your podcast adventures.